Don't need to be so. Good morning. Can you hear me? It's okay. I'm delighted to be here with you this morning. Let's get right to it. And I would like to invite you to read with me the text we are going to look at this morning. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 8. I'd like to invite you to read it aloud with me, okay? Let's do it together, shall we? I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and as also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. It's unfortunate that Pastor Larry got sick, but I got a call from him on Thursday night, and that he said it's unlikely he could even talk on Sunday. So I could hardly make out what he was talking on the phone to. But I kind of make out that he was not well. So here I am, I'm trying to step up for him. And it is indeed a privilege. Every time I have an opportunity to share, to teach, to preach God's word. And so I really enjoy this part that I'm here with you this morning. What we have just read, the analogy of the vine and the branches. I have here for you a couple of pictures of vine and like lots and lots of grapes. And as you read the text this morning, I think you got the idea that this is indeed a word picture. It is a word picture of the close or the intimate relationship between the believers and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a picture of our life in Christ, isn't it? So I want you to bear that in mind. Now, if you look at this text as some kind of drama or a stage play, there are three main players in this drama. Player number one, he calls himself the true vine in verse 1, and he calls himself the vine in verse 5, and that's undoubtedly Jesus Christ himself, right? And the second player, also mentioned in verse 1, he says, my Father is the gardener. So who is the gardener? God the Heavenly Father. Okay, we got that. And in verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. To whom was he speaking? The disciples, right? Especially the 12. Okay, so the branches is collectively the, represent the disciples. I don't know if you, when you read it, did you notice a highlight? What did I highlight? What do I highlight on the text? Fruit bearing, right? Or bears no fruit, or bears much fruit, bears fruit. Indeed, that is indeed the main emphasis, the point that Jesus tried to make. So the first thing we learned this morning is, it is Jesus' desire that you and I will what? Bear much fruit, right? Bear fruit. And in other words, it's God's desire for us, fruitfulness in our life. Three times he mentioned that in verse 2, the same concerns mentioned twice, in verse 4, one more time in verse 5, and one more time in verse 8. And I highlight all that in yellow for you previously. But then the logical question is, what is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? Is that orange or is that strawberries? Would that be bananas or pineapples? Let's look at that. I think generally when you look at the New Testament, there are two possible answers. When you look at the New Testament, there are the Old Testament too, actually. There are two possible answers. Possibility number one, and we can see that it is the fruit of what? Evangelism. What I mean is this, that you go out and preach the gospel, and someone's converted, or a bunch of people are converted. Either you do it as a missionary, or as an evangelist, or as a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. That's what you should do, right? And we call those people that come to be new Christians, babies in Christ, we call them what? The fruit of evangelism. They're the results of our evangelistic activities and work, okay? And we find one example like that in the Romans 1, verse 13 to 15. There Paul was writing to the church, Christian church in Rome, saying that I'm trying to come to see you. I'm coming to see you guys. So why in the beginning there, in chapter 1, oh, I know it's a dream morning now, isn't it? And you feel sleepy, don't you? Why don't you all read it aloud with me? You can wake up a little bit better this way. Verse 13 to 15. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I may have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to the Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. This is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Why was he trying to go to Rome? One of the reasons is he tried to do some evangelism there. He tried to preach to Gentiles, the people who don't know the gospel, who did not know the gospel yet. And what is he hoping for? He wanted to have a harvest. We want to have some fruit for his activities that he planned to do in Rome, okay? So possibility number one, what kind of fruit is it? Maybe, just maybe, the fruit of evangelism. Yet there's a possibility number two, it's the fruit of Christ-like character, Christ-likeness, shall we say. And you're very familiar with this passage, the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians 5, 22, 23. Again, read it out loud with me, shall you? So, yeah, together, okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. That's also Paul. Paul's saying that if you live in the Spirit, if you live in a power and a guidance and the nurture of the Spirit, you gradually to transform. Your character will be nurtured and transformed into this kind of a person. You will be a person of love, of joy, of peace, of forbearance, of kindness, of goodness, of faithfulness, and gentleness, and moreover, you have self-control. So these are the what I call Christ-like character. Why? The Holy Spirit has another name. He's the Spirit of Christ. Right? He had many names, the Spirit of Truth, and he's the Spirit of God, we know that, and he's also the Spirit of Christ. So, this is possibility number two. What kind of fruit is it? Now, we had our election last year, and the U.S. are going to have the election upcoming, is that in November or October? Somewhere around there, right? Let's take a vote here, though. Now, I want to see who thinks possibility number one, the fruit points to, the fruit of evangelism. And then I want to see who thinks is number possibility two is the right answer. Now, let's hold it. Think about the picture. Jesus said, I'm the vine and the disciples are the what? The branches. Think about that and then you give me the answer. Okay, now are we ready? Okay, who thinks possibility number one? Wow, I don't see one hand. Either you don't know the answer, so you don't put up your hand, or else you're not very brave, or something like that. Okay, who thinks possibility number two? Oh, you're so intelligent. Yes, it is. Why? Just take a look at a picture, right? If Jesus is the main branch, the vine, and we are the little branches, the disciples, followers of Christ, are the little branches, what do you envision is the life comes from what? From the main branch, from the main trunk, from the stem, right? And it flows into the what? The side branches, the little branches. Yeah, indeed. What Jesus talking here, both fruit are good, both kinds are good, really good. And I'm sure God wants to see both kinds of fruit in the life of each and every one of us. I'm quite sure about that. And yet, here, in the context of what we read this morning, I think it's far more like that Jesus is talking about that as we spend time with Christ, as we remain in him and he in us, we grow to be more what like him with each passing day. I think that's what he talks about. Okay. God's desire for us is what? That we bear much fruit, fruitfulness. How does God do it? He prunes us. He prunes us. God's work in us is that he prunes us so that we bear more fruit. How do we know that? Verse number two. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more what? Fruitful. Now, I have taken some holidays in the Okanagan. Not recently, but well, since I've been to BC, 20-some years now. And I used to be from Saskatchewan, but now I'm in BC. And for 20-some years now, I've been to the Okanagan several times. And I took some of those. I'm not into wine, okay? Trust me. I don't drink wine. And but yet, I took some wine tasting tours because I want to look at the vineyards. And in one of those tours that I took, I asked the tourist guy, I said, how do you prune your vines? And he was one of the guys, one time that tourist guy was nice enough to show me. I don't know how he did it. He just did it so fast. He just go to one bunch of them, he just grab them, and he just know instinctively which one to cut. So chop, 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 chop. And I said, it's done. I asked him, how many times do you do that in the life cycle of the vine? He said, 3 to 4 times. I said, wow, that must be painful, you know? He took off so much of it. I said, wow, how much money he chopped off just right there? He chopped off quite a bit. He did not just nip a little bit here off here and there. He took a lot of it, all from it, in his cutting, his pruning. And I almost was at the point saying, stop, you're wasting things. But then he explained to me, in order to have big and a lot, juicy, sweet grapes, you need to prune it. You need to prune it. That's what he said. Okay, now I really understand because I am an eyewitness to what he was doing. But from that time and from this picture here, I do understand one thing. Pruning is often not very pleasant experiences. Pruning is most likely what? Painful experiences in our life. And here's one application or one lesson we need to learn this morning is that God does not only use the good times, the good things, things that we like, things that in our favor, in our life, to shape and mold us. More than likely than not, he will use pain and suffering in our life to fashion us, to shape us, to mold us into his likeness. That's one thing that we need to really learn. I don't know about you. I learn very little from my successes, although I don't have that much, right? But I learn a lot from my failures. I learn a lot more from my pain. Sometimes those pain can come from illnesses, severe illness. Sometimes pain can come from what? Loss of a loved one. I lost my mother. It was very, very painful. And sometimes you feel a lot of pain because of betrayal. Your friend may have left you or may have betrayed you, people you trust. And all the circumstances in life can bring us, many circumstances in life can bring us trouble and pain and suffering. But bear in mind, God could use that too. God could use our trouble, our pain and suffering to shape us into his likeness, to be more like him. We are very familiar with Romans 8:28, right? But nevertheless, I invite you to read with me again, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also was predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that we can be more like Jesus, his son. Now here, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, remember Paul says all things. He does not say just the good things. He said all things. Does that include circumstances of pain and suffering and failures? Dejections? Rejections? Yes. So once again, it tells us right out. It's not only the good experiences in life that can do us some good. It's more likely the bad experiences in life can even do us more good. A little bit more on pruning. Back to verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Let's make some observations on this verse. And I make three of them for you. And you can read it on the screen. One is that it seems God the Father, who's the gardener, who does the pruning, will start working in us if we start what? Bearing fruit. Right? So he stops pruning us when we stop being fruitful. And number two is just the opposite. God prunes the what? Not the bad branches that bears no fruit, but he prunes the what? The good, healthy, fruitful branches in order that they what? They bear more fruit. Here it is. We Christians often have the mistaken idea that when things are going well in my life, everything is going my way. Everything is smooth. Everything is in my favor. God must be smiling at me. I must be doing the good thing. I must be doing the right thing. That's why God blesses everything that I do. You know, that's not necessarily true. Sometimes in our pain, in our suffering, it is exactly the proof that God is still working. Still working in you and me, isn't it? Another thing I noticed during those wine tasting tours, I'm not saying that you should do that, is this. The pruning is done by hand. You cannot send, I suppose it has not even been invented yet, a robot or some kind of machinery that can automatically go out and the robot will know which one to pick from or where to cut and where to save. The gardener, the pruner, goes up and he recognizes which part needs to be pruned And that said, and he put his hand on it. And he put his hand on it. And he prunes it. It's in the same way, in our time of suffering, in our time of trouble and pain, if that's what God's doing in order to prune us, he's closest to us. His hand is on us. He's not far away somewhere. So next time, when you're doing well and everything goes to your favor, don't necessarily think that God is smiling at you, you're doing everything well. He could be. I'm not saying that he would never do it. He could be. And on the other hand, when things are not going your way, when things are going bad and you're suffering, unless you're suffering because you sin, but if you're suffering for doing good, God is still working in you. He has not left you. His hand is on the vine. His hand is on you. He's doing his work. That's what he's doing. I want to make a little bit of summary about the lessons I learned in my life about suffering and adversities. If I think those adversities are sent by God, and God could do that, God used suffering to teach me to rely on him, to trust him. Sometimes we got nowhere to go. Sometimes we don't know who to talk to. We can trust him. We can talk to him. We can rely on him. We can turn to God. Isn't that what the Psalms teach us? That's what the Psalms teach us, isn't it? And David does that a lot. Secondly, if I think my troubles come from the evil one, Satan, and you can see that in the book of Job, right? Satan challenges God and says, oh, he's doing good. Job's doing good because you give him all the good things. Let's see if they take that all away from him. See how he would behave. He probably would leave you and swear at you, right? That's what Satan's challenge was to God, to the Lord. Now, if our troubles come from Satan, our suffering comes from Satan, God could still use it, even though it doesn't come from him. God used it to teach us to what? To obey him. Remember, he gave us sufficient grace in all our troubles. We need to obey him. Third, our troubles certainly can come from men. Our pain can come from other people. And God uses that to teach us to what? To love them and forgive them. Isn't that what Christ's likeness is all about? That we love like Jesus loves. That we would forgive as Jesus forgives, isn't it? We talk about God's desire for us, his fruitfulness. We talk about God's way of making us fruitful is what? Cutting or pruning, trimming? Now, God has one more thing for us. He has a certain condition that we have to meet in order to be fruitful in our life. And you guess it, I analyzed them all for you there. Let's read it, okay? Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will what? Bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So how can we bear more fruit? Remain in Christ. Remain in Christ. Let's look at what that means. I like the older English word for it, abiding, rather than remaining. Some of the older translations use some. Not like the NIV that uses remain. Use what? Abide, A-B-I-D-E, abide. It probably means the same thing. How do we really remain in Christ? Okay. From this chapter, from John 15, we know for sure one way to remain in Christ is what? To know and follow God's word. You see that in verse 3, verse 7, and also verse number 10, which we did not read this morning. We only read up to what? Number 8, right? Verse number 8. But you can go home and do it on your own. Let's try verse number 3 anyway. Let's read again. You are what? Already clean. You have been already trimmed, right? Because of what? The word I have spoken to you. How does God prune us? How do we remain in Christ? God uses what? His word. His word to shape us, to mold us. And you can see that readily, can't you? God, this is one of the main ways that God uses to shape and mold us, is his word. That's why I think that every Christian should feast on the word of God every single day. And we do not be just the hearer of the word, but be doers of the word of God. That's what we need to be. That's where we need to be. Number 2, how do we remain in Christ? Obedience. Apply the truth we learn from God's word into our circumstances, into our decisions, into what we do daily, day in, day out. We don't just hear God's word, we don't just study to death God's word. We need to what? Do God's word. That's what it is. 3, it's a fellowship with God. You can see that from the picture, right? The branch can only bear much fruit if it is attached to, its life is attached to the life of the vine. When it's separated, it's good for nothing. Thrown into the fire and be burned. So how do you have a relationship with God? On the very minimum is your so-called devotion or your quiet time daily. Now, I don't have much to say because I don't have much time anyway. But I want to point out about prayer. Prayer is part of our devotion, right? Our daily walk with God is that we carry on this conversation with God that we call prayer. What we do in prayer is mostly is because we only seem to want to ask God for things. It's a one-way, it's a more or less a one-way communication. Only you talk to God or I talk to God. But remember, prayer is a two-way communication. Let God speak first. And we reverently and we submissively want to hear his voice, want to let his word touch us, we want to let him touch us. We want to let him shape us. Let his word shape us. So in prayer, probably the more important part is not to talk to God, but let God keep the space, keep the time, that God could speak clearly to us in our prayer. And you need to carry on fellowship with God, day in, day out. One more thing, and I'm done. And that is, what's the result of all this? Remaining in Christ, and Christ in us, bear much fruit. What happened? NIV says this, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. The New American Standard Bible gives a more literal translation, and I like it better in this case. Let's read together. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so what? Prove to be my disciples. Jesus says in John 15 that this will prove, you will prove to be my disciples if you what? You bear much fruit. Brothers and sisters, my friends, are you Christians? Let me hear enthusiastic. Yes, sorry. Yes! You say you are. How do you prove it? Bearing fruit. What kind of fruit is it? You're to be like Christ. Christ-like. Fruitfulness in your life. God bless you. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we want to just commit to you ourselves. We want to be connected to you. We want to enter into an intimate relationship with you, Lord. Because you are the vine and we are the branches, only your life can give us true spiritual life. And may we, through years of maturing and bearing fruit, that we walk in a way, that we live in a way, we live on this earth, that we be increasingly more Christ-like with each passing day. We thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your lesson for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Pastor Tim. And let's respond together. Let's rise together to this song. It's not much to say, but the title of this song is Trust and Obey. And I believe that a lot of the things that I preached this morning calls us to trust and obey. So let's just respond with this song.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace, the saving grace that saves us, and the love of God, for he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to But so that he who believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher, our advocate, be with all of you. Amen. Please be seated, and may the be in the coming week that as you abide in him, his peace will abide in you.
Thank you, Pastor Tim. So, how to be a good Christian? Bear much fruit, right? Remember that. So this morning, before you leave, there's just a few quick announcements. What's next week? Easter is coming up. That's right. So we have a bunch of things that are happening on the Easter weekend. On Friday, we will have a Friday service, Good Friday service. That's right. 10:15 a.m., just like Sunday, the same time, but on Friday, Good Friday service. And on Sunday, we will have a service, sunrise service, just across the street at Inspiration Garden. We do this every year. It's early in the morning, but it's a lot of fun. So I encourage you to consider coming out, and we'll have a service, sing some hymns, share some scriptures together, and also maybe have breakfast together afterwards. Then following that, we'll have our regular Easter Sunday service at 10:15, regular time. And on that day is a special day because we will have a baptism on that day and also membership transfer. So on this bulletin, you can see all the names. So, you know, if they're your friends, make sure you come by, right? And hear the testimonies. So in the light of that, also just for those of you who considers coming out on Saturday to our Saturday night service, it's canceled for Saturday because there are multiple services for you to attend next week. So we encourage you, instead of going to the Saturday night service, attend the Good Friday and the Sunday morning service, all right? So also another key thing that I need to mention, because of Easter next week, Sunday school is canceled. So the couple's Sunday school class is moved to the week after, April 3rd. So, okay, remember that. No Sunday school next week. It's been canceled. Celebrate Easter. I'm thinking of Christmas already. You know, like planners, we always plan at least half a year ahead, but that's 9 months ahead right now. So that's that. Keep praying for Pastor Larry. He's pretty sick right now. Even this morning, I just talked to him. So remember him in your prayers. And after silent prayer, we welcome you to join us in the coffee time just down this hallway into the connection room. Coffee time, just meet some friends, have a coffee, have some snacks. All right, so happy Sunday.